At our service this morning, we began a brief study of the book of Ruth. And we continue that this evening, turning to Ruth chapter 1 and reading from verse 6 to the end of the first chapter, to verse 22. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them. And they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, 'I have hope,' even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. For it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. We end our reading at the close of this first chapter. May God bless the reading and now the preaching of his word. Our subject this evening, encouragements to faith. And I want to begin with two phrases in verses 6 and 7. From the country of Moab to the land of Judah. Two different Hebrew words, country and land. Country is used of Moab and land of Judah. Verse 1, the country of Moab. Verse 2, the country of Moab. Here, verse 6, the country of Moab. Land is a different Hebrew word, and it is used of Judah. Verse 1, famine in the land in Judah. Here, to the land of Judah. These words have different meanings. Country is a defined, limited portion of territory, a geographical description, a country as it is today. Land is a different word. It's used almost 300 times in the Old Testament. And what it means is the whole earth, the vast expanse of territory. Moab and Judah are shown by these words as two different places. Moab, in the end, it seems full and rich, but in the end, it is limitless. It is limited. Meaninglessness and empty. It's a limited, empty land. Judah, at the beginning, seems small and meaningless. But in fact, it's an incredibly rich, amazing, and blessed land. And so the central fact of this passage is the journey of Ruth with Naomi from Moab to Judah, from the country to the land. An amazing decision for her to make. And yet by far the most important decision and the most important journey of her life. And here, friends, is the example we all have to follow if we're going to travel to God's place of redemption and blessing. To travel from Moab to Judah. Now, what motivated her to do this? That's what we're thinking about this evening. What encouraged her to do this? How may we be encouraged on the journey of faith? I want this evening to think with you about the importance of encouragement, the means of encouragement, and the result of encouragement. Being encouraged to travel from Moab to Judah, from the country of the world, to the land of God. First then, the importance of encouragement. And friends, this was certainly not an easy decision for Ruth to make. And as we look at the passage, it seems clear that there were at least four apparent difficulties that she had. Let me mention them. Even though there were only about 50 miles between Moab and Jerusalem, times were lawless, frightening, and difficult. There was no central peace-giving power. You remember the previous verse before the book of Ruth, the last verse of Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. A place of robbery, a place of cruelty, a place of violence and unfairness and lawlessness. And this journey of 50 miles must have been a dangerous undertaking for two defenseless women. A dangerous journey to take. Secondly, these Moabite girls would have had to leave their original home, the place where Naomi had advised them to stay. Verse 8, Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house, a place where you are known, a place where you're recognized, a place where you'll be received. You've got friends there. You know the culture of Moab. You were grown up in it. You know the country." She may even have been... Naomi here is still growing, and she's quite a way to grow in her understanding. You may even go back to the faith of Moab. It's a big change. And a Moabite woman in Israel wouldn't be easily received. She would be a stranger in a strange land. She would meet hostility. She would feel lonely and alone. Do you want to leave your land for a new land? Go home, Naomi said. Thirdly, the position of a widow was desperate in those days. One scholar says, the word widow in Hebrew contains ideas of loneliness, abandonment, and helplessness. Loneliness, abandonment, and helplessness. For a young widow, work would have been almost impossible to find. You worked in your own home with your own family. There was no other place of work in those days. Widows were often treated unjustly and unfairly. One example, Ezekiel 22 verse 7, about the wicked princes of Israel. Here's what the prophet says. The sojourner suffers extortion in your midst. The fatherless and the widow are wronged in you. The fatherless and the widow are wronged. They're damaged, they're cheated, they're robbed, they're abused. The only hope of such women was to remarry. And if these women were depending on their mother-in-law, as Naomi pointed out and as we read, it would have been a long wait to expect for Naomi to produce another husband. And then lastly, Naomi advises them strongly against this step. Verses 11 and 12. Again and again, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way. She's pleading with them. Turn back. Turn back. And Orpah does that. She's in the same position as Ruth. The same situation. She goes back. She wasn't a deeply changed person. She decides to stay in her own country with her own people. Ruth had a lonely choice to make. This is something of the situation in which she finds herself. It's telling us, friends, that the journey of faith can be difficult. That's why it is called of faith. Of faith. Sometimes faith in Christ can mean painful separation from our loved ones and from familiar things. And some of you know that. You've experienced it in your own family. To be a Christian, we may have to give up some cherished hopes, some plans, not God's will. To be a Christian means that we're not going to be popular in the 21st century world. We're going to be despised. We're going to be looked against. Uncertainty about the future. No guarantee of happiness. Often it's a big, big decision to make. Follow me. For many people, it's not easy. And for some of you here, there have been costs in it. Jesus warned us of this. Luke 9:23. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Follow me means carrying a cross. It can be a frightening thing. It can be a difficult thing at times to choose to follow God. We need encouragement towards faith. It's not natural. It's not always easy. So let's look secondly at the means of encouragement. What was it that got this young woman from another nation to decide to go to Judah, to the people of Israel? What brought Ruth to faith? Well, she didn't have much of the Bible. Mahlon, her husband, had been brought up in the faith. He may have known something of the first five books of the Bible. We don't know. Perhaps he had witnessed to his young wife before he died. We're not told. Their home probably was very different from the heathen homes around. He's a better husband, a different man, perhaps. Perhaps he even spoke to her, preaching of God's love. We don't know. But Ruth was encouraged mainly by the life and witness of Naomi, her mother-in-law. Her thoughtfulness and her love. And as I said, at this point, I don't want to go into it, but at this point, Naomi is not yet completely clear, as we'll see. But she's unselfish. She's got faith in God, and yet she wants what she thinks is the best for her daughters-in-law. Verses 8 and 9. Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. She loved her daughters-in-law. She was tender to them. She had concern for them. In verses 11 and 12, again and again, she calls them, my daughters, my daughters. Her thoughtfulness and her love. What an example. If she had tried to lecture them, to condescend to them, to interfere with them, she would have been what comics today talk about as the mother-in-law. And the mother-in-law is presented as a ghastly, frightening figure. If her life hadn't matched up what she was saying, she had no effect. But her kindness and her love must have made a great impression on Ruth. Ruth had lived with this woman for 10 years. She'd known her, she'd seen her, and she was a different woman. She was a different woman. She was full of kindness and tenderness and love. And friends, the power of our lives and the power of our love and the way we treat people and the way we behave towards others has an impact. One writer puts it very well. He says, all truth and no grace is no truth at all. All truth and no grace is no truth at all. Grace in Naomi, thoughtfulness, love. Yes, I think they must have had an impact on Ruth, but, and this is the important thing, far more vital, Scripture tells us, is her steadfast faith in God. Here's the point. Here's what brings Ruth to faith. Her steadfast faith in God. She sees God working in all of life, in every part. Verse 6. Naomi had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. Verse 8, may the Lord deal kindly with you. Verse 9, the Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you. Verse 13, the hand of the Lord has gone about against me. Again and again and again and again, she speaks of them, to them of the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, bringing before them awareness and knowledge of the Lord. And at the same time, she's realistic. And she's honest. Because when she returns to Bethlehem, as we read, she wasn't hiding her grief. She wasn't pretending that her loneliness didn't exist. Verse 20, the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. Verse 21, the Lord has brought me back empty. The Almighty has brought calamity upon me. So here's a woman who is honest, who's open, who's realistic. And yet she's not rebellious. She's trusting. These two great names of God which she uses, Lord and Almighty, Lord and Shaddai. The Lord is the loving covenant God. The Shaddai is the Almighty. One writer says, the God who is at his best when man is at his worst. The God who is at his best when man is at worst. There's a steadfast faith in this woman. And friends, it must have been this faith which brought Ruth to faith in God. It must have been this faith in her mother-in-law, seeing how she lived, how she spoke, how she acted, speaking of her Lord, her God. Have you seen faith like this in some people? Think about it for a moment. Can you think of people in your life? You've seen in them strong, strong faith in God through Christ. Can you think of some here this evening whom you've seen? You've seen faith in them. Yes, we can. Have you shown that faith? Do you know that faith? Have you shown it to some people? This is a fruitful form of evangelism. Showing ourselves. Showing who we are. And what God has done for us. And what we believe of him. And how we trust him and obey him. This is of key importance in understanding the Christian life. Some of you here this evening may be like Naomi. You may have suffered, and yet light shines in you. Light shines in Naomi more brightly than darkness. And such witness is powerful and useful. Some of you here tonight, as you sit here tonight, you may not feel very encouraged by what's happening to you. But dear friends, what we see in you fills us with Christ and helps us to trust in him and to love him. And when you stand before God, you will find the glory that you didn't know was there. Steadfast faith. This was the means of encouragement. And let's come then, thirdly, to the result of encouragement. And we can see it in two aspects. Love for Naomi and faith in God. It's obvious throughout the book, and we'll see it again and again, that Ruth cared deeply for her mother-in-law. It comes up in this chapter. She didn't want her to go off to a lonely old age. She loved her. She gave herself for her life. But that's not enough for salvation. Many unbelievers are loving people. Many unbelievers have real love for others. In many ways, Orpah seems to have loved Naomi deeply. She wanted to go with her, but she gave up on it. Much more than this was happening in Ruth's life. Natural affection on its own can't bring a person to salvation. Natural affection can't bring a person to salvation. Because you love your Christian father, your Christian mother, because you love your Christian brother, your Christian sister, your Christian friend, because you come here and you can fit in well with everybody because you love us, that doesn't mean you'll go to heaven. It's not enough. It's not enough. Only one motive is strong enough to lead a person to safety. Faith in God. And we don't know how Ruth has become converted. We don't know exactly how and when she has come to believe in the true God. But at this point, she has. She's a believer. She looks to him and depends on him. Naomi says to her, "Your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But in verse 16, Ruth says, "Your people are my people, and your God is my God." She trusts God. And she just doesn't trust God for friendship's sake. Because she loves Naomi, and she's friendly with Naomi, and she wants to share it with Naomi, and make Naomi happy to see her loving God. Because when Naomi has died, Ruth will still be trusting God. "Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. I will stay in your land. I will stay in your place. I will stay among your people. You may have died, but I'll stay where you took me. I'll stay where you pointed me to. I'll stay where you led me to until I die in that place." She will stay faithful to God's command, to God's land, and God's people. "May the Lord do so to me," she says in verse 17, "and more also." She trusts in God's very presence. She uses his covenant name, the Lord. She speaks as one of his people. Here is true faith. She's going with Naomi, not just because she loves Naomi or cares for her, but because she believes it will be the will of God for her life. One modern commentator puts it this way, I think very well. Ruth had found, here he is analyzing these verses 16 and 17. Ruth had found a new path for her feet. Where you go, I will go. A new place in which to dwell. Where you lodge, I will lodge. New people to love. Your people shall be my people. A new peace in your heart. Your God shall be my God. and a new prospect for her life. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. A new path for her feet, a new place in which to dwell, a new people to love, a new peace in her heart, a new prospect in her life. This was her coming to God. My friends, have you come to this point? When you come to this point, when we realize this, when we hear God's voice, the difficulties don't matter. Jesus has said to each of us, follow me. And we're to do that in faith and obedience. And there are many people who set out on the journey, or try to set out on the journey of faith, for wrong motives, but they don't persevere. And the only thing to keep us going on the hard parts of the road is this. It's Christ who's calling us. We're doing God's will. We see then two people here on the journey of faith. Naomi and Ruth. They're both on the path of faith. One is a mature believer, the other is a new believer. Both of them are in trouble. Both of them have uncertainty ahead of them. But both of them are on the way to blessing and to happiness which neither of them could have imagined. And I trust and pray that that's our congregation tonight. People on the journey of faith, walking through Christ to the will of God. You remember Paul in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Sometimes our lives are difficult. Sometimes they're hard to understand. Sometimes we can't really describe what's happening to us. I felt that when I watched my wife working last week on a cross stitch on our holiday. From where I was sitting, it looked odd and weird and strange. And she worked away on it for about 10 hours. It didn't seem to make any sense to me at all. I brought it here to show it to you. That's all I could see. And I couldn't understand why Lorna was working away and working away. And that's what it looked like. But that's what it's going to be when it's finished. And I just thought, that's a bit like my life sometimes. My life looks, to me, it looks a bit like this. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. It's not easy. It's hard. Don't you feel like that? Don't you feel like that sometimes? But that's what it's like. That's what it's like. And the day's coming when we look at the whole picture and we'll say, oh Lord, it was beautiful. You told me it was beautiful. I'm sorry I didn't understand it. I'm sorry I didn't trust you. But it was a beautiful thing. To trust in God. Here are Ruth and Naomi. And they're at this point in their lives. Everything is hard. Everything seems bad. But they're both trusting God They're both going in the right direction. And God willing, we'll see in our next study part of where they've come to. Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray for your word to come to every one of us here this evening, whatever our need. If we're not yet in Christ, Lord, that you will show us Christ and our need of Christ and draw us to him by your Spirit. If we're rejoicing in all your goodness and blessing in our lives, help us to do so with true gladness. And Lord, if we have difficulties, if we're finding trouble and pain, if we're questioning things, if we're struggling, help us to see it, Lord, as the back of the pattern. And we can't see yet the whole beauty of what the final work will be. And Father, as we see these two women, an older Christian and a younger Christian, an older believer and a younger believer, and as we see them trusting in you, and yet not a light shining upon their lives at this point, we pray, Lord, that we'll be so encouraged, and with them walk forward in faith to the land and to the place of blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.